1057 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out. We've got our... we're in shirt here, right? I mean, you know, yeah. That looked like a worker comp injury, a workers' comp injury.
Actually, it was worse than it. I mean, it looked worse than it actually was.
I shouldn't say anything about that, you know, because that opens the door. Have you noticed something? And that reminds me, my ADD kicked in right off the bat. Have you noticed? I know. Have you noticed the TV with all of these things that make you sick? All of a sudden, all these ads are all over the place. It's not just mesothelioma, whatever that thing is. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, but it's not just stops there. There's like four or five. I heard one called Zag the other day. Something Zag. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Just you know, if you're suffering from these maladies, and they mentioned like 12 of them. Just give us a call because we're going to get you some coin.
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal is, but it's all of a sudden those ads for the ambulance chasers are just all over the place.
It's from medications, best.
I can't remember. Was it?
No idea. But there's two or three.
It was the acne medication. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm past that point in my life. This is Airing It Out. We are broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios of 105.7 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. We're a juggernaut here. And so I welcome you to the juggernaut known as AIO.
Are you okay over
there? Yeah, no, not really. We bring you topical talk radio. That's informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, infuriating, and invigorating emotions felt all at the exact same time. The reason that I'm just kind of a little off here is because my Packers are in the playoffs, and it's hard enough to me. But when they're getting thumped right out of the gate immediately, it's disconcerting. It's discombobulating. It's both of those things, and that led to that pregnant pause that I just had there. Okay. So does that explain it?
Yeah.
At least I'm not falling out of my chair.
The chair kind of fell out from under me.
So are we still updating the website?
We're about ready to get it back up.
That's drewskaggs.com. That's the live internet stream of the show, of course, with a K, SKAGGS.com. Or we can be reached 1-800-551-1057. Wow. Harry Reid. And when I walked in, I asked you if you knew about this, and of course you haven't. You haven't heard about this. It's they put this out on a Sunday, so that it can just be like a 12-hour news cycle deal, and they wash their hands of it, be done with it. Well, there's a book out or coming out by a guy named Mark Halperin, and in it he was granted access to President Obama. Way back into the primaries, before he became, when he was then Senator Obama. Harry Reid is quoted and has already apologized for saying this: Obama, President Obama, is light-skinned, quote-unquote, and, quote, with no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one, unquote. And, of course, he's already apologized for it. They're already saying, let's see, we've got... the DNC chairman saying it was in the context of recognizing if Senator Obama is he's a great candidate and a future president. I don't know how one equals one there. And Dianne Feinstein says it was just a mistake. He's apologized. Let's move on. And the matter should be closed. Funny how the matter should be closed when it's Harry Reid. There's a it's just interesting. It's interesting to hear all the racial remarks that are being uttered and have been uttered over the past couple years. And I'm going to bring you each and every one of them, and I want you to see if there's a pattern of the racial remarks being uttered, and who it is that is uttering them. But he said, have we got the Hillary deal? Well, let's get that out of the way, speaking of wanting to have some sort of dialect. Yeah, you ready? Now, remember, Harry Reid is quoted as saying that Senator Barack Obama, then senator, was light-skinned and had no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one, which, gosh, I remember Hillary on the campaign trail wanting to have some sort of dialect.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
That's an example of if you want to have a dialect, then you do what Hillary did. She was speaking before the NAACP. Which brings up another political correctness quandary. Do you know the only only time you can say colored person is with the NAACP these days? Have you noticed this?
I didn't know.
The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It's just, I just find it interesting. We're going to talk about that, as well as a lot of other stuff. Hopefully, we'll be talking about the Packers mounting a comeback for the ages, but I doubt it. Let's go to the state level real quick here. Number one, ready to go. Stumbo won't file slots bill. This is from the Daily Independent. Until Beshear shows budget hand.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
There's one point in here that's pretty interesting. House Speaker Greg Stumbo from Prestonsburg said Thursday he won't file his bill to allow slots at horse tracks until Governor Beshear proposes a new two-year budget on January 19th. Stumbo proposed the bill in last year's regular and special sessions. In the June special session, it narrowly passed the House but died in the Senate Budget Committee. Senate President David Williams from Berksville opposes it and says it can't pass the Senate. The bottom line is they don't have the votes in the Senate, okay, to move this slots bill. Williams said he will propose a constitutional amendment to require a constitutional referendum before any expansion of gambling. Stumbo, Beshear, and the horse industry oppose the constitutional route. And Stumbo has said he isn't likely to push his bill unless there is indication it has a chance in the Senate. Oppose the constitutional route? Let me give you, put it in layman's terms, what a constitutional route is. That is leaving it up to the citizens to decide whether they want expanded gambling in the Commonwealth of Kentucky or not. I have been consistent on this issue since it reared its head. I don't care. One way or the other, I really don't care. But it ought to be up to us, the people, as to whether or not expanded gambling is allowed in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And it's just interesting that the paper kind of swerves into just exactly what this is about. Oppose the constitutional route. Seems to me, all this horse jockeying back and forth, no pun intended, between the Senate and the House is all moot if you can just get it on a ballot. We've got an election coming up in November. Do we not? Of course we do. Okay? And if it's so, if the imperative is, if we've got to have it now, kind of like the stimulus, if we've got to have this now, hey, call a special referendum. Let the voters of the Commonwealth of Kentucky go to the state. Go to the polls and say, thumbs up or thumbs down. And that pretty much solves the problem. And once again, I have no stance either way. But it ought to be up to the people to decide. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I get accused of not sounding like myself. My Packers are just getting thumped. I mean, the game is over with the capital O. And not just you, Todd. I mean, I've gotten, let's see, what I count it right here, one, two, I've gotten five different text messages. You know, they just lay in the weeds for me. That's what happens when you're a fan. Yeah, when you're a fan of a team and you stand out on an island, because There's very few Packers fans around here. Well, there's some. There's little pockets of Pack fans, and that goes back to the 90s with Brett and all of that. You know, I've been a Packer fan since Don Majkowski was the – Lynn Dickey was the quarterback. I mean, we're talking years ago. I've been a Packer fan for years, okay? So, you know, when the Bengals lay an egg like the Bengals laid yesterday, you know, listen, misery loves company. There's all kinds of Bengals fans around here. So, you know, they can coalesce and they can talk about what went wrong and they can revel in each other's misery because they got pounded. But when you're standing on an island as a Packer fan, of which there are very few around here, you just get abused. You get obliterated. But that's okay. I mean, I can take it. I've got broad shoulders. Did when we went to the break, that was Rocky Adkins, a friend of the show,
right?
Been on here frequently. That didn't sound like Rocky. What was going on with the sound there? You give me that technical. How does that sound?
Well, Ted still uses an old-fashioned tape recorder, so the tape probably stretched or something happened. Seriously, that's what.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not banging on Ted.
He has this tape recorder that. You dropped a couple of times too many, and it
really?
Plays back at weird speeds and doesn't work right half the time. So.
I've seen him carrying that thing around. Yeah. When's Ted's birthday? I'm just curious.
I think it's the middle of January.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Well, take up a collection, because I'm not going to do it by myself. But, you know, you know what it sounded like? He sounded like he was auditioning for Alvin and the Chipmunks. is what he have you seen the Squeakquel?
I haven't.
You know, that's an excellent name for having the second version of a film.
Yeah.
Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
so
7, 8, 9.
Did you suggest Godfather the Squeakquel?
No, that doesn't work. But, you know, with Alvin and the Chipmunks,
yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks,
yeah.
The Squeakquel, that's excellent.
That is good, yeah.
That's a little hook,
yeah.
That they get people to want to come and see Alvin. So, you know, I don't know I'm just being realistic here. The Pack's down 17-0. They're not going to win. They're on the road.
It's only the first quarter.
Huh?
It's
Come
only the
on.
First quarter, Drew.
17-0 on the road in the playoffs, and it's just not happening. I guarantee you that place is a zoo.
I've
I mean,
seen
those
them
people
do
are going nuts.
More with worse.
Yeah, well, not in the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big difference. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but there's not a lot I can
keep
do.
Keep your hope.
Huh?
It's not over till it's over. Keep hope.
Okay, Yogi. I appreciate those words. You know, that's just like, well, at least somebody's giving me something positive.
Right.
Other than the ha-ha text messages I've been getting. Yeah, pretty much that's what I'm getting. And now we've blown right through this segment. I really can't get into anything else, which is fine. I really want to get into the Harry Reid thing. Really want to get into it. And like to get into it right this very second. But I just can't do that. Are you going to buy that book, Halperin's book?
No.
Neither am I. Neither am I. I'm not going to buy it either. I'm just enjoying the different segment. Bill's in there, too. I forgot that point, too. Former President Clinton is in there also with some choice words. Likewise. To what's going on. So we're going to play the Harry Reid thing, and because CNN had a little blurb on it. Now, we want to play it because after tonight, it's going to disappear. You're not going to hear much of it again. Why is she taking a picture of me?
I have no idea.
Well, just go ahead and play what the CNN anchorette had to say. Have you got the actual comment?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, there we go. You finally found it.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and play that.
An apology today from the Senate Majority Leader for disparaging remarks he made about Barack Obama during the presidential campaign. In their new book, journalists Mark Halperin and John Heilman quote Harry Reid as saying, privately that Obama could be successful thanks in part to his, quote, light-skinned appearance and speaking patterns with no Negro dialect, end quote. In a statement, Reid says he deeply regrets using such a poor choice of words. It goes on to say, I sincerely apologize for offending any and all Americans, especially African Americans, for my improper comments.
You know, I love it when you come across the intersection of political correctness and hypocrisy, because this is what this is. And I'm going to take you step by step right along and show you the hypocrisy. But, you know, talk like that is going to land old Harry as the next vice president, because after all, this is what Biden had to say about President Obama back before he was the vice presidential nominee.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American,
yeah,
who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
That's a storybook, man. The first African, the first mainstream African American that's clean and articulate. I think it's a resume enhancer, really, because he landed as the vice president after saying that. And but here's the deal about Reid. This is the first honest thing the guy has said in 20 years. Okay? If we're honest with ourselves, Barack Obama is indeed light-skinned. That's because he's half white. That's why he's light-skinned. And for sure, he does not speak with a, to quote Harry Reid, not me, to quote Harry Reid, a Negro dialect. Okay? He doesn't. These seem to be perfectly accurate, non-demeaning, and thus unobjectionable descriptors. No different than describing Governor Palin as quote-unquote attractive. Because if you're honest with yourself, she is. And with a Fargo-esque dialect. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, she sounds like she's out of the movie Fargo.
Yeah.
With the Alaskan accent, or she's from Idaho originally. But as I pointed out, dialect, I mean, even Hillary uses that dialect when she needs to. Doesn't get called on it, but that's all part and parcel of the hypocrisy. You know, this is what Harry Reid and his liberal ilk have brought into our consciousness, that of political correctness. Harry's being hoisted on his own petard, as it were. And not for very long, because the covering's already happened. The president's already excused him. Funny, I don't recall him excusing Don Imus, and I don't recall him excusing Trent Lott. Actually called for Lott's resignation back in 2002. Of course, it won't be anything but a 12-hour news cycle. Like I said, Obama's already forgiven him. So's the Reverend Al Sharpton. I mean, if that's not hypocritical. Yeah, imagine if a conservative had said this. Do you think Al Sharpton would have already forgiven him? Of course not. He would be demanding this, demanding that, and marching with his bullhorn. That's what would be happening. One wonders, would they be so forgiving if Reid were conservative? Of course they wouldn't be. They would have already called for his resignation. The mainstream media would be camped out on his office steps. And this is a prime example of the so-called arbiters of political correctness, liberals, who deem themselves as the ones in position to quote-unquote forgive, depending, of course, on your political philosophy. That is the main thing. Let's take Reid's comments about it, about the comments he made. He said it was a poor choice of words, quote-unquote. What does that mean, a poor choice of words? He's not sorry for what he said, just that he used the wrong words? How else could you have said that? There's no other way you could have said it. So if Obama has, quote-unquote, dark skin and a, quote-unquote, Negro dialect, what then, Harry? What do you say then? He says he was a supporter of Barack Obama during the campaign. He lies. He was totally uncommitted during the whole primary until it became obvious that Obama was going to get the nomination. He then became a supporter after it was obvious who would win. And Harry wanted power, finally. The power to run the Senate, pure and simple. That's all that was about. So under the definition of political correctness, what Harry Reid said was racist. I give it as an example Trent Lott, who had the same position as Harry Reid has today, majority leader of the United States Senate. He praises Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond was turning 102 years old. He was saying nice things about an old man. And he was hounded and heckled by the media and Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Hillary Rodham Clinton. I could go on and on and on. And thus, Trent Lott embarked on an apology tour, apologizing near and far for praising Strom Thurmond, and wound up resigning because no Republican had the guts to actually back him. Same thing applies here, right? Liberal media? Same thing? You going to apply the same standards? Harry Reid must resign, right? Of course not. Not at all. This is why people can't stand the media or liberals in the media. They're one and the same, I know. There is a different standard for Lott than Reid. After all, by definition, according to them, Lott has got to be a racist, not only because he's from the South, but more importantly to them, because he's Republican. The mainstream media will never hold a liberal to the Republican standard. Never. Not once. They won't do it here. They'll never do it. Think they'll make Reid go on an apology tour? Beg forgiveness from them? Provide cover? Of course not. Will Reid from now on be called Harry Reid, who has apologized for racist remarks? Which is what they described Trent Lott. I mean, that's, for 2 months, that's how you heard. And you still hear it. Lott called that today. Apologized for racist remarks in every single freaking news story about him. Of course not. This is the view of our so-called nonpartisan mainstream media. When a liberal does it, it's just an honest mistake. Quickly forgotten. When a conservative does it, it is revealing their evil nature. Because the media knows, they just inherently know, that conservatives are racists. Close your eyes and imagine Rush Limbaugh saying the exact same thing Harry Reid admits saying. Now, I bring up Rush because that's who the media hoists up as the leader of the conservative movement. Now open your eyes and see that Rush Limbaugh would be ruined professionally and personally, not financially because he's made too much money. The death threats would be never ending, and every newscast would lead with the story for weeks on end. But Rush has been talking for 20 years, 3 hours a day, and hasn't said anything like this. Unless I miss my guess, the mainstream media has already dropped the Reid story because Barack Obama has inoculated him already. And the panting lapdogs that they are, they will follow their liberal master's orders. And that's what's going on right now. But let me give you an example of what I mean when I say there's a pattern that has emerged here. You've got positions of power in this country. For example, you've got the president pro temp of the United States Senate, a guy named Robert Byrd. You have got a former president of the United States by the name of Bill Clinton. You've got his wife, who is the secretary of state of the United States. You've got the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. You've got the Vice President of the United States, and you've got the President of the United States. With the exception of the House Majority Floor Leader, those are the positions of power in our country. Let's start and see if we can find a pattern here. Let's start with Robert Byrd, West Virginia's own Robert Byrd, just a couple years ago.
My old mom told me, Robert, you can't go to heaven if you hate anybody. We practice that. There are white n****s. I've seen a lot of white n****s in my time. I'm going to use that word. But we just need to work together.
Hey, okay. Well, so you got the, it was the N-word that he used twice. Former Grand Kleagle, by the way, of the KKK, Robert Byrd. Let's go to 2008 in South Carolina during the South Carolina primary. Bill Clinton talking about his wife being thumped by Barack Obama in the South Carolina primary. This is what he chalks up her loss to.
What does it say about Barack Obama that it takes two of you to beat him?
That's just debate too. Jesse Jackson won South Carolina twice in 84 and 88. And he ran a good campaign, and Senator Obama's run a good campaign. He's run a good campaign everywhere. He's a good candidate with a good organization.
Let me tell you what he meant by that. Jesse Jackson won in 84 and 88 in South Carolina. He won strictly because he was black. That's what Bill Clinton was meaning there. Why would you bring up Jesse Jackson's campaign from 84 and 88 and compare and contrast that? Now his wife, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, making a joke about a different race this time.
Mahatma Gandhi, he ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years.
Mahatma Gandhi ran a gas station in East St. Louis for a couple of years. You got to be kidding me. Gandhi, up there with Martin Luther King. Up there with Mother Teresa. Hillary Rodham Clinton can go right ahead and make fun of Indians and the cherry on top, Mahatma Gandhi, Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. We've got the Senate Majority Floor Leader saying our president doesn't sound like a Negro. That's reported today. You've got the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, saying this once again about Indians.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
You can't go to a Dunkin' Donuts or a 7-Eleven unless you've got a slight Indian accent. The Vice President of the United States. And lest we forget that racism or perceived racism cuts both ways, we have the current President of the United States.
A typical white person.
Describing his grandmother. A typical white person. How stupid does the media think we are? When you play every one of those bits together, it is obvious the ones who make the racial remarks. Other than Trent Lott in 2002, who didn't make a racial remark, he was praising Strom Thurmond, who at one time was a white separatist. Well, you know, if that's the marker then, you've got a white separatist in the United States Senate today. A former Grand Kleagle of the KKK. But see, it's okay. As long as they apologize. Everything is A-okay. As long as they apologize, because they're liberal. How about this from the book? This is on page 50 of the book that's coming out, which quoted Harry Reid. And Mark Halperin writes, as Hillary bungled Caroline, which is Caroline Kennedy, Bill's handling of Ted was even worse, Ted Kennedy. The day after Iowa, the Iowa caucus, which, by the way, Barack Obama won, he phoned Kennedy, he being President Clinton, and pressed for an endorsement, making the case for his wife. But Bill then went on, belittling Obama in a matter that deeply offended Ted Kennedy. Recounting the conversation later to a friend, Teddy fumed that Clinton had said, quote unquote, a few years ago, this guy would have been getting us coffee. You tell me, who are the racists? Now, the point I'm making here is the hypocrisy on the part of the press. They have taken at face value the fact that he's apologized and the matter should be closed. As a matter of fact, I read from, Mr. Reed apologized to President Obama on Saturday, and the president issued a statement accepting the apology and saying the matter was closed. Funny, it wasn't closed when Don Imus was doing it, apologizing all over the place. It wasn't closed when Trent Lott was apologizing all over the place. Barack Obama called for his resignation. I quote the president, 2002. Quote, it seems to me that we can forgive a 100-year-old senator for some of the indiscretion of his youth, but what is more difficult to forgive is the current president of the United States Senate suggesting we had been better off if we had followed a segregationist path in this country after all the battles and fights for civil rights and all the work that we still have to do. The Republican Party itself has to drive out Trent Lott. If they have to stand for something, they have to stand up and say this is not the person we want representing our party. Unquote. Pot meet kettle. Because Harry Reid's in the same position of power that Trent Lott was in back in 2002. But what's changed? Nothing's changed, but it's a liberal that says it. So it's okay. We have to accept Harry Reid's apology without question. No questions. So I guess this is what a post-racial America is supposed to look like, because that's what we heard. This is going to be a post-racial presidency. Race is not going to come up. Oh, geez, ADD kicks in. I do remember the president when the Harvard professor got arrested in his house. What was the president's initial knee-jerk reaction? He called the police stupid. You remember that? Without knowing any of the facts at all. His knee-jerk reaction to say it was stupid. But so this is what a post-racial America is supposed to look like. You can yammer on about light-skinned this and Negro dialect that if you are the Senate Majority Leader of the United States Senate. But you're not a bigot as long as you support the president's policies. That's the marker, you see. Meanwhile, no matter how pure of heart, speech, and mind you are, if you oppose anything he proposes, you're a bigot. Because he's black. Get it? No? Hey, me either. I don't get it either. And I remember this just last month, Harry Reid. We had it. We had his quote. Saying that Republicans who oppose the government health care he compared them to proponents of slavery. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Who's the real racist? I remember Janine Garofalo, Tea Party bashing Janine Garofalo and her ilk, spent the last year lambasting conservatives as racists because of the Tea Parties. Where are they now? Nowhere. Be found. The reason Trent Lott resigned from the United States Senate was because Republicans told him to. His fellow Republicans said, you got to step down. And they were called progressive. And that's what they ought to have done, according to the media. Where are the progressive Democrats who will apply the same standards to Harry Reid? So they're already in damage control. a Democrat source added that this is from, I don't know where this is from, but says that Reid will likely not lose his position, as Trent Lott did. Quote, the only way he gets deposed, what is this, a banana republic we're running? Is if the Democrats decide they have a political interest in seeing him go. Oh. If that doesn't tell you this is all about politics, I don't know what does. Based on the reactions thus far, he'll endure a few bad days, but will be fine in the long run and can focus his efforts on his campaign. Rank-and-file Democrats have been put in a difficult position. They don't want to sound like nothing happened, but are uncomfortable criticizing Reid in public. Do you know why they're uncomfortable criticizing him in public? Because they know that if he survives, he's coming for them. You step out of line now, and Harry Reid makes his way through this, which he's going to. Oh, there'll be ramifications for you, pal. Don't think they're not keeping score up on Capitol Hill. And the reason the president has given a pass to Harry Reid is because of what he calls social justice. The social justice that Harry Reid has supported over the years. Politics, folks, that's all it is. When it suits them, they'll destroy people if they're not of the same political leanings. I brought up Al Sharpton. This is tailor-made for Reverend Sharpton. What have we found? I know we've been looking for this a lot. Have we found exactly what church Reverend Sharpton preaches at yet?
No.
We haven't yet, have
no,
we?
Haven't.
I mean, we've been looking for 3 years, but we've not found that church. But Sharpton, who, if this was a conservative, and who, if this was Trent Lott, was marching with the bullhorn, yelling for the resignation of the racist Lott, says, I've learned of certain unfortunate comments by Senator Reid and have spoken with him about these comments. While there's no question that he did not select the best words in this instance, these comments should not distract America from its continued focus on securing health care or creating jobs for its people. How's the jobs thing going, by the way? Huh? 4.2 million jobs lost since he took office. How's that going for you? Nor should they distract from the unquestionable leadership role Senator Reid has played on these issues or in the areas of civil rights. Senator Reid's door has always been open on hearing from the civil rights community on these issues, and I look forward to continuing to work with Senator Reid wherever possible to improve the lives of Americans everywhere. From Al Sharpton. Let me translate that for you. Al called Harry on Saturday, yesterday. Said, Harry, listen. I heard what you said here, pal. Listen, my political action committee, my PAC that I've got going on here, and Jesse's Rainbow Coalition, we're going to need a little funding, Harry. Okay? And you know, you're pushing through a $1 trillion health care plan. You still got about $400-500 billion there in that stimulus deal, that debacle of a stimulus thing. You need to shift some funds over to me. And I'll defend you, Harry. That's what happened. You know it's what happened. Because if Al Sharpton has been anything in his life, it's been a shakedown artist. That's his SOP, that's his quid pro quo, that's how he operates. But see, Sharpton's been the beneficiary of Reid's policies over the years. Reid money. So now, when something like this happens, you got to keep that spigot going, don't you? Perfect opportunity for Al to make some more money. I hate to be cynical, but people know. People know that if you apply the same principles, there's no way Al Sharpton, if he didn't know Harry Reid was a Democrat, if he didn't know Harry Reid was a liberal, do you think Al Sharpton would be defending him? Absolutely not, and everybody knows that. Now, I close with this. Lest you think that I'm a believer that Harry Reid should resign, I'm not. You know why? Because people make mistakes. He's apologized for saying what he said. I take him at face value. I didn't think Don Imus should have resigned. I don't think Trent Lott should have resigned. People make mistakes. And they apologize for them most of the time. But the point I'm trying to make here this evening is the media in this country are going to cover for Harry Reid. They're not going to assign the same principles as they assign to a conservative. For all of the reasons I just gave you. And it's the hypocrisy intersecting with political correctness that drives me bonkers. These people don't have an ounce of common decency in them. Not an ounce. The only thing that matters is the agenda. And when it suits their agenda to destroy a conservative, well then, Katie, bar the door, we're going to destroy the conservative. And when it suits their agenda to destroy a liberal, it never happens because that agenda has never been a part of their operating procedure. That's why a used car salesman, and apologies to used car salesmen, have higher approval ratings than our so-called media. Yeah, you get a call where it says, I'm the racist. Really? How? How is that? How exactly is that? Well, once again, take your political blinders off and see it for what it is. So it's supposed to... Is it supposed to snow again tomorrow evening, just a little bit, or what?
Yeah, they're saying probably about an inch by tomorrow night.
What is that?
Or an inch tomorrow night, during tomorrow night.
Like after the sun goes down or whatever.
Yeah, after the sun goes down. Tomorrow, there's supposed to be some snow during the day, but it's not supposed to stick. And then tomorrow night, there's supposed to be an inch.
Great. I bring that up because William Seacrest from South Shore, he writes into the Daily Independent a lot. And he's a very provocative writer. And he writes in defense, and if you're going to be provocative, this is how you be provocative. You write a letter into the Daily Independent defending Kentucky Power's application for a 35% rate increase. In the midst of a recession, okay? That is being provocative.
Yes.
All right, he writes, I've read about Kentucky Power's application for a 35% rate increase with a somewhat indifference. I've decided to support their efforts, but not for personal reasons. I belong to the Green Up Lions Club. I think that everyone in our area knows we sell hamburgers at three major events in our area, and in turn give the profits to our many needy organizations here in our local community. Why am I supporting Kentucky Power's rate increase? Last Monday, it disconnected the electricity to the first floor apartment of a building that the Lions own, which has two apartments above it. We thought we had an automatic name transfer when the tenant moved out, but alas, we did not. Why do I want Kentucky Power to receive this increase? If it has more revenue, it is possible it can hire more intelligent or at least more observant technicians. The company assigned someone to disconnect our power on January 4th. Hey, okay, here's the bottom line. There was people that lived above them that didn't pay their bill. Okay? So they shut off the electricity. And it affected the Lions Club on the first floor. He says, how can anyone be so ignorant to ignore the wintertime consequences? No electric, no freeze, no heat, frozen water for all three apartments. Why not question or make contact before the disconnect? Why no contact? Give them the rate increase. Maybe you can pay more and hire smarter, more observant technicians. Wow. Wow. Now, I've got to I need to defend the Kentucky Power folks. They've got a tough job. Their job is exceedingly difficult, especially this time of year. They do. Personally, I think they do a wonderful job. Our electricity's gone out once this year, and you call in there and you report an outage, and you report an outage, and they while you're on the phone. Within probably a minute, you know pretty much when your electricity is going to come back on. And they sandbag you, which is fine. They'll for example, they'll say, you know, the automated voice will say, in your area, it'll be, did the Packers score?
Field goal.
Yeah. It will, well, they did. It'll be on at 9 p.m. And it usually pops back on about 7:30 p.m. Hiring more technicians and all of that is nice on the face of it, but to run it like a business, what happens the other 10 or 11 months out of the year when the weather is not so bad, when it's a moderate weather? That's the only time I like to use the term moderate. So you've got these technicians hired, but then you have no work for them to do. That doesn't make very much smart business principles, at least in my mind. So, you know, I love Mr. Seacrest's letters into the editor. We read a lot of them. He's clean and articulate. I don't know about clean, but he's definitely articulate. but he is. He really and it causes letters to flow into the Independent whenever he writes. And this one is going to likewise, because people don't want to hear about a 35% increase in their electric bill. Have you had much experience with electricity going out? I know it's not Kentucky Power, but what has been your experience with the power company in terms of being responsive?
I haven't had too much problem with them. I mean, the main problems,
which is good there,
right? The main problems I deal with is actually over here on this side when we have problems here at the station,
right?
You know, trying to report an outage, and our main transmitter doesn't have an address; it's just on a road,
ooh,
and I can't report it because they need an actual address. I'm like, well, it doesn't actually have an address.
Well, that's difficult when you're the person going, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah, I'm telling them, it's like, you know, I understand your frustration, but on our end, it's just as frustrating, I'm sure.
We need the power.
Yeah, we need the power, and I'm sorry I can't tell you the exact address because it's just a piece of land. I mean, there's no houses or anything on it, so there is no number for it.
Well, I could see that as being difficult. But
I mean, other than that, I mean, just something silly like that, that's about the only problems we've ever had trouble with.
Let me give you an example of what happens. Like, when did we have the big... Was it Wednesday? When was the... when did it really come down?
Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah.
One of those days.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's gone to the grocery store. Everybody's got their stuff. They know it's coming. They hunker down in their houses. They've got their stuff. The power company guys and girls or ladies, rather than running to their house away from the inclement weather, they have to run towards it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a difficult gig, because you got a lot of people on that power grid that, you know, they have no control over an act of God, which is what this is. No matter what Al Gore will tell you, that this is man's problem, symptomatic of global warming, this is an act of God with weather conditions. And they don't know where a transformer is going to blow. They don't know... you know, that transformer, I'm sure they've got scale models and computer models that they run all the time, but, you know, they don't know what's going to happen once that transformer blows. You got other people that link into that, and then it overwhelms that system, and then you wind up, you've got 1,800 people out of power, and then, you know, listen, the rubber hits the road. Then you gotta get after it to get that power back for people, because, you know, people get pretty grumpy when their power goes out in this day and age. Now, me, as a aficionado of Bear Grylls, Man versus Wild, would have no problem with that, because, you know, with my mechanical abilities, it's, you know, that's not a problem,
right,
for me.
And even me being the technology person,
it would be a huge problem for me.
It's not a problem. The electricity is not a problem for me. I have batteries, and I keep everything backed up and keep it safe where if something does happen with the power, I'm not out anything, and I've got enough batteries for everything that I can still use my stuff for a while.
True. Well, you know, Mr. Seacrest, prepare yourself for the onslaught of letters that are going to come down in regards to your take on the power rate increase. But it's not, the 35% increase is not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen in January. They're going to push this off till July, when people in the middle of summer, where you know, the people aren't as attuned to their electricity bills as they are in the dead of winter as we are right now. So that's what they'll do. So, you know, you're not going to see that increase right away. You'll see an increase. You know, my guess about it isn't, it's completely a guess, is that they've requested 35% because they fully anticipate getting 15%. That's, you know, you request a lot more,
right.
and then you look good when you say, we'll try to make it with 15%. I mean, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest here. But in my dealings with the power company and power company personnel, I've had nothing but good ones. But then again, that's just me. You know, I came across this story as I was perusing articles to use on the show this evening. You remember in the summer, I took my my beautiful wife and kiddos to Pullman Square over in Huntington. And it, what was the 3D movie? I told you it was what was the 3D movie it was playing?
I don't remember.
It's become 3D's. I just saw ESPN is launching a 3D sports channel.
Yeah, they just had the big Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and the big thing was 3D TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you go in there at Pullman, and it's very nice. It's a very nice cinema. You got the high back chairs. You got, you know, it's just a nice place. But to view it in 3D, they give you those glasses.
Right.
Whatever those glasses are. 3D glasses, I guess is what they call them, right?
Yes.
Now, when I was describing the next show we did, I was describing my family outing over there. What did I say happened to me after watching this in 3D?
I don't remember.
You don't? Thanks. Well, let me jog your memory here. I said, my head was getting ready to explode. I had such a headache after coming out of that movie theater from watching it. Do you remember me saying this?
I do remember.
And I was like, I don't understand. You know, I felt fine going in. It has to be the 3D. Dateline CNBC.com. 3D TVs may cause a headache, literally. So it says, movie fans and sports fans looking at 3D TVs for the ultimate home theater experience may want to get their eyes checked first or risk a 3D headache.
Wow.
Who knew? You know what happened? They heard about it,
yeah.
And the president carved off some stimulus money, claimed that he saved 15 jobs, and they researched this because Skaggs got a headache, and they confirmed it. You can get something known as a 3D headache.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea. Well, I did have an idea because when I walked out of there, I'm telling you, halfway through the movie, I was taking my glasses off going, oh, my God, this is just... I mean, did a mule just kick me in the head? Because you got 3D, you can't see stuff around you, you know, because you got the 3D thing.
Right.
And I'm looking around going, where is the mule? I mean, and I was thinking about Eddie Murphy's mule in Shrek. I was thinking he was somewhere in there just pounding my head because it hurt so doggone bad.
Yeah.
But now I know. You can get 3D headaches.
Wow.
Yeah. See?
Didn't know there was such a thing.
I know. Well, I did. I intrinsically knew that. But, however... the ambulance chasers, you know they're all over this one.
Oh yeah.
this is a new revenue stream for them. You know, listen, hey, 3D, do you suffer from 3D headaches? You need to call 1-800. We'll get them.
Yeah.
You know, you just 1-800, we'll get them. And just call in and so you can get on and we'll file a class action lawsuit. It's kind of like Amway. I should be the leader of this, the 3D class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're first in, you make all the money coming out.
Right.
It's like a Ponzi deal. Kind of like, I don't know, Social Security. So let's stick with Congress for just a second. This is being little noticed because of the healthcare stuff that is currently being bandied about between Pelosi and Harry Reid. This is Dateline, a Washington Times. Have we got La Bamba? We got number 7 ready to go. Immigration bill backers try again, despite jobless rate. Man, the Packers are playing great defense, aren't they?
Yeah.
Huh?
Really?
Man. So, Democrats on Tuesday begin their new push for an immigration bill. Now, I have opined here on the show that I think I said it last month. This is the next step. Okay? Yeah, people wonder, why are they pushing this health care thing through when the American people, by a wide majority, don't want government-run health care? Well, I said it's two-pronged. They're going to push it through, and then they're going to follow up with an immigration bill that legalizes illegal immigrants in this country, thus giving them access to the health care business, to the health care in this country at taxpayer expense. Because when you do that, when you legalize 17, 18, 20, 22 million illegal immigrants, who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for the ones that gave them the freebies. That's the thinking. So they're going to begin a new push for an immigration bill, hamstrung by the image of legalizing millions of illegal immigrant workers at a time when the unemployment rate stands at 10%, more than twice what it was the last time Congress tried to act. Quote, "It certainly will confuse the debate a lot more, but at the end of the day, what we have to understand is fixing this system will be good for American workers," unquote, said Elizio Medina, executive VP of the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, which is one of the major advocates for legalizing illegal immigrant workers. How exactly is that good for American workers? Our unemployment rate is at 10.2%. Really, it's at 17.6% when you count into that figure the amount of people that have given up looking for work. How exactly is that good for the American worker? It's good for people like the SEIU, because, after all, what they do is they want to represent these illegal immigrants once they get legalized. And then, voila, you have 15 million more members in your union, paying union dues, and all of that that comes along with it. Representative Luis Gutierrez, the Illinois Democrat who has taken over leadership on the issue after the death of Senator Edward Kennedy, plans to introduce an immigration legalization bill Tuesday, and backers are planning a strategy to avoid repeats of the failed attempts of 06 and 07. In a letter to members of Congress last week seeking support for the bill, Mr. Gutierrez and Representative Nydia Velasquez, New York Democrat and chairman of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, said their legislation will end the off-the-books economy of illegal immigrant workers and protect American workers by raising labor standards. You know, here's the dirty little secret. Unemployment figures would drop to 6% overnight if we got rid of the illegal immigrants in this country. Now, I understand. I'm not naive enough to believe. All you have to do is go to a restaurant locally or in the big cities, and you know who staffs them. Restaurant, hotel workers. You understand what I'm talking about. They aren't even factored into the equation to begin with. So they're going to try to push this through precisely because they know their jobs are on the line, they being Congress. They can read the polls. They know that the overriding thought process in America today is throw the bums out. That's the thought process. So every precious vote they can get will count towards keeping them in power, which seems to matter to them far more than the dire unemployment figures and the suffering of millions of their constituents, which they themselves have caused. And to go back to this guy, with the SEIU saying it's going to confuse the debate, but at the end of the day, we have to understand it's fixing this system will be good for the American workers. So you got to combine these two things. There's two things at work here, votes and jobs. Concerning the first, votes, there will be certainly more votes for candidates that support legalizing illegal immigrants if they vote to legalize 20 million people. They're going to be the beneficiaries of the votes of those that get legalized. However, this notion that they are all going to join the SEIU is just not true. Some will, but this union dream that they have about having millions of new members with all of the additional clout is ridiculous. One of two things will happen. Either they continue to work under the table, or new illegals will undercut them and replace them in the workforce, and they'll go on the dole just like the rest of the people on the dole, which will only solidify their votes for government. And this Miss Medina that says this, well, I don't believe it's better for American workers to have to pay for second language teachers. I don't believe it's better to put millions of people into our social safety net that have nothing to put in. I don't believe the crime that follows the illegals into their barrios with all the associated costs is beneficial to Americans. I don't believe that rewarding illegal behavior retroactively, giving citizenship to people that snuck into this country illegally, is beneficial to Americans. And I say all this knowing that if you were in the room with me, you would say I'm either ignorant or heartless or worse yet, racist. To you, I would reply, I really don't care what you think when you wish me to close my eyes and not recognize what's going on. I'm not interested in their lies and couching phrases to try to get me to go along with their agenda. In short, Miss Medina, if you so want immigration reform, head south of the border and reform the endless hordes that wish to come into our country and reap the benefits of me and my ancestors. In short, tell those hungry hordes to fix their own country. I would be honored if they modeled their country after ours. So this is where we are as a country. Our politicians have decided to damn the torpedoes full steam ahead. They don't really care that the American people don't hold them in any regard at all. They don't really care that the American people don't want government-run health care. They don't really care that the American people don't want cap and tax. They care nothing about that. They don't really care that the American people have finally awoken to the fact that global warming, man-made global warming, is a myth and a hoax, and that's what cap and tax is based upon. They don't care. Those that were elected to do their constituents' bidding is doing exactly the opposite. Their own bidding. That's why Rand Paul was a breath of fresh air. Our candidate, a candidate for the United States Senate, when he came on here and said he's pushing for term limits. He's running on term limits. For the sake of power, they're pushing this through. You know, there's a reason that there's a word before immigrants called illegal. It's because we have rules in our books. We have laws on our books that say these people are here illegally. So for the sake of power and the sake of perpetuating that power, they want to legalize these people, knowing that they're going to go and vote for them. That is why this is happening. And it failed in 2006. It failed in 2007. But the reason it failed is because the balance of power was split among the executive branch and the legislative branch. It's not now. It's not. You've got one party that holds the executive power and holds a legislative power, veto-proof, I might add, in the Senate and the House of Representatives. So a lot of people scratch their head and say, you know, I can't believe they're going through with this. This is political suicide. But these people do nothing if it doesn't benefit them first. Oh, they crouch it and cloak it in nice terms. You know, we're going to take care of people that don't have the insurance safety net and the compassionate terms, and it sounds really good until you get down right to the brass tacks of it. And all it is a power play. That is all it is. So we'll see what happens going forward on that. Let's see, I've got... Oh, this is a great story. I've held this for a while, number four. This is Dateline Pittsburgh, the Wall Street Journal. Pittsburgh pushes tax on college students. Facing big unfunded pension liabilities for city workers, Pittsburgh is proposing what appears to be a one-of-a-kind 1% tuition tax on local university and college students who claim the tax is illegal and unfair. More than 100 students filled Pittsburgh City Council chambers Monday morning, many bearing signs like "No Taxation Without Representation" to protest the tax, which, if passed this week, could become effective next year. Quote, "This is going to be a double taxation of students in the city," said Daniel Jimenez, 27 years old, a PhD student in neuroscience at the University of Pittsburgh who pays property taxes on a home he bought in 2004. The tuition tax... is estimated to raise $16 million, threatens to drive a wedge between the city and its universities. The cash-strapped city has 10 universities and colleges, including top-ranked engineering school Carnegie Mellon. It needs the tax to help cover a $600 million pension fund shortfall. So they're calling this the fair share tax. You know, you students of academia that back in November of 08 went to the polls overwhelmingly for the current president. It's all fun and games until it's your bull that gets gored, isn't it? It's all fun and games. How's that hope and change working out for you, Pittsburgh students that now have to pay? And it is double taxation. He's exactly right. Jimenez is exactly right. But here's the dirty little secret, Daniel. They, once again, don't care. They don't care. You're nothing to them. They're going to get this money come hell or high water, and if they have to tax you without representation, that's what they're going to do. You know, I talked to a lot of college students, and... you know, like college students, and I drank the Kool-Aid for a couple of years also. You know, you're ensconced in that, you know, the emotionalism and the feel-goodness of liberalism and wouldn't it be great and kumbaya and let's all come together and everybody understands what college is all about. But you tell them, listen, wait until you get out into the world. And you start making, let's see if you feel the same exact way that you do now, 20 years down the road. And except for the ones that are still going to be wearing their Birkenstocks 20 years from now, the vast majority of them, although they don't have any idea what I'm talking about now, they soon will know. In Pittsburgh, they know now. So, a minute left in Tennessee. So that means if it holds, and I can't bring myself to say two words, go Vols. I cannot bring myself, although I just did it. I can't bring myself to, but I did it, didn't I? Yeah. Well, but if Tennessee beats Kansas, then that means Kentucky will be number two in the country when the polls come out tomorrow. Okay, time for the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
Dateline ABC News, President Obama names transgender appointee to Commerce Department.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up bundle of shook up world. Simple old la 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 la.
President Obama recently named Amanda Simpson to be a senior technical advisor to the Commerce Department. In a statement, Simpson, a member of the National Center for Transgender Equality's Board of Directors, said that, quote, as one of the first transgender presidential appointees to the federal government, I hope that I will soon be one of hundreds, and, God, I hope not, and that this appointment opens future opportunities for many others, unquote. While Simpson is clearly one of the first trans... While Simpson is clearly one of the first transgender presidential appointees, Democratic officials say they're unsure if she is the very first one. Sometimes unintentional humor is the best. Well, we're unsure. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're sure that Amanda, who used to be Mark, is the first. We know. She's one of the first. We don't know if it's the first or not. We're unsure. The White House had no comment on her appointment. Let me rephrase that. The White House had no comment on its appointment. I'm sorry. The Packers scored. It's a ball game. You can bang on me all day long, but I will go to my grave, hopefully in years down the road, thinking these people are crazy. Which fits perfectly with this administration, but they have a mental defect. You know, Amanda or whatever its name is now, obviously used to be a man, now considers Amanda, word to the wise, your DNA says you're still a guy. Okay? No matter what. Even though you've had your ADA or... I don't really know what it is. Well, no, it wouldn't be ADA. It would be taken from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you've had that, and you consider your, and I'm sure you look wonderful in Jimmy Choo heels. All right. You're still a dude. Okay. No matter what. So we don't really have a lot of time to get anything, but I want to know. This is an email sent to me. What's causing the cold weather? What is causing the cold weather? Besides global warming, of course.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you've got that UT up six on Kansas. Thank you, Pullum. So other than global warming, of course, we all know it's colder than hell. Have you seen, like, two-thirds of America is snow-packed.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one that came out of Great Britain? Did you see the ocean?
Part of it, yeah, I don't know.
The whole island is just under snow. And they can't remember the last time this happened. You've got snow happening in Florida.
Yeah, it was 36 degrees in Florida this morning. I had a listener send me an email.
Oh, really? It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. It's the cycle. It's just what it is. We were due for a hard winter, and that is what's happening. So we've got some tongue-in-cheek suggestions for why or what is causing the cold weather. How about Al Gore is talking about man-made global warming?
Yeah.
Just because he opens his mouth and it just lack of funding. if we could just find a way to squeeze more money out of taxpayers, we know how to handle this. We would take care of this cold weather for you.
Yeah.
We just need some more funding.
Right.
It's winter.
That might be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds valid. The vast right wing conspiracy. That might be what's causing cold weather. How about the sun? Is the sun melting? It could possibly. George W. Bush. I think George W. Bush might be causing cold. Karl Rove and his weather machine. Even though Karl is no longer at Pennsylvania, he's still got that weather machine that everybody accused him of having. You know, with the it was Karl Rove that would steer hurricanes. For example, how about rising CO2 levels on the moon?
Yeah, that could be it.
That could be it. What's causing the cold weather? How about the cold is needed to keep Nancy Pelosi's face frozen? I mean, listen, She's had a lot of work. Who's kidding who here? She's had a lot of work. And she's in D.C. where it's cold. You know, she doesn't want to go to San Fran. Yeah. Of course, you know, San Fran is, you know, the coldest winter ever is the summer in San Francisco. The Earth is tilted the wrong way. The equator moved.
Yeah.
Just unbeknownst to us.
Right.
And how about this? Illegal aliens wanted to skate across the river into the United States of America. Thank you, Pullum. We are number two. The University of Kentucky, when the new rankings come out, we will be number two. Because Rock Chalk Jayhawk went down to defeat at Thompson Bowling Arena. I think that's where it was, in Knoxville. And as much as it just skeeves me to actually think that I'm appreciative of anything the University of Tennessee does. You know, a clock stopping is, you know, this is what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that happens once in a generation where I actually say, wow, good for Tennessee. Yeah. Because you'll never hear those words from me again unless they decide to beat Texas next week, which would then, of course, make us number one. So there you go. Kentucky is going to be number two when the rankings come out. Well, that's it for your kindly host and weatherman. I appreciate the fact that you all have tuned in this evening. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.